Okay, this year is a leap year, so most of the double parshiyos have their own Shabbos. Usually, Vayakel Pekud Day we have to split, but this week is Vayakel. Okay, obviously, the beginning of Vayakel discusses Vayakel Moshe. Moshe gathers together Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael. Vayomer Lahem Eile Hadvarim Asher Tziva Hashem Lasay Soisom Sheishes Yomim Teyosam Melacha Uvayomer Shvi'i Tishbois. The mitzvah of Shabbos, that even though there's a mitzvah to build the Mishkan is not Daicha Shabbos, and we still have to keep Shabbos. I know I said this over last year, and I'll say we said over throughout the years, but the Sefer Piryon has a very nice part. Sefer Piryon is written by Rav Shlomo Gansfried, who's the Machaber of Kitzei Shulchan Aruch. He says over a very nice insight. Sheishes Yomim Te'osa Melocha, Pasuk Beis. 6 days, te'osa. Not ta'asa melacha, te'osa. Ta'asa would mean you should do melacha. Te'osa means the melacha is done. 6 days, the melacha is done. Over Yom HaShvi, the 7th day, Yilachem Chodesh, Shabbos, Shabbos, and Lashem. Says the Sefer Piryon, beautiful. If you want to appreciate Shabbos properly, a person wants to be able to rest on Shabbos and not worry about his parnasa, and not worry about the time, so to speak, he's losing by not working on Shabbos. It all depends how he looks at the 6 days of the week. There are two kinds of people. The person during the week looks at the work that he does and the money that he earns as koichi v'oitzim yodi. It's my koyach, my power, my strength, my doing. But when it comes Shabbos, it's very hard to sit still because I'm holding myself back. I could be out earning money. It's all my koyach. If a person looks at the 6 days of the week, and he realizes that his parnasa all comes from Hashem, and whatever money he earns, whatever profit he has, is all nigzar Rosh Hashanah. What a person earns during the year was already ketsuvin glad, is already set from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah, and everything that he earns comes from Hashem, then Shabbos is very easy. He could sit back and rest. It's all coming from Hashem. And Hashem says, take a day off, rest on Shabbos. Sheishes yamim te'asa melacha. A person who looks at the 6 days as if his melacha is done by itself, the melacha that he has, all the parnasa that he has, comes from Hashem, he appreciates the Shabbos. Memeilu v'yoyim ha'shvi, yilachem kodesh, Shabbos Shabbos on Hashem. For him, Shabbos is kodesh, it's Shabbos Shabbos on Hashem. Because he understands that even the 6 days of the week, the parnasa that he has, comes from Hashem. But a person who sheishes yom tasa melacha, he thinks it's him doing the melacha, it's your melacha, then for him, Shabbos is very difficult to appreciate because he feels he's losing out. So the pasuk says, "Sheishes yom te'asa melacha." If you look at the 6 days as if your melacha is being done for you, it's not you. It's all up to Hashem. It was all already set for Rosh Hashanah time. The meil will be yom Shvi. Shabbos will be kodesh. There will be a Shabbos Shabbosin. Be a Shabbos Shabbosin Hashem. Pasuk gimel, lo sevaru eish b'chol moish v'seichem b'yom Shabbos. Don't light a fire in all of your dwelling places, your houses on Shabbos. About the Poshup Shat, the Poshup means don't light a fire. And the Gemara in many places has a machoikis, why the Torah singles out fire. Of all the Lamatas Melachos, the only one mentioned beferish is fire, is lighting a fire on Shabbos. It doesn't say the Torah anywhere not to plant on Shabbos, not to plow. We learn it now because Shabbos is written next to the Melachas HaMishkan, so all of those Melachos that were involved in the building of the Mishkan are also for us to do on Shabbos. But the only melacha that it says beferish openly in the Torah is also on Shabbos is lighting a fire. I think Mara is a famous machlokes. Why is Havara lighting a fire singled out? Havara l'alav yotzeso or l'chalak yotzeso? Is Havara there to teach us that for a person to be chayiv on Shabbos, he doesn't have to do all the melachas? Even if he's mechal Shabbos, by doing only one melacha, he's already chayiv. So the Torah writes one melacha to show us that being mechal Shabbos doesn't mean that he has to do all 39 melachas. If he does only one, he's already chayav achadus b'shogeg, he already did a chilul Shabbos. Or perhaps Havara, one man d'amah holds, is only for a lav. That Havara is different than all the other 38 other melachos. That all the other melachos are chi of misa, but lighting a fire is only a lav. There's only a lav and there's no chi of misa. That's the famous machlokes the Gemara brings down. But the Pasuk Loisavar Leish is darshined wide and far by everybody. The famous Zoya culture, Zoya writes, Loisavar Leish means the Eish Shokas. That a person has to be very careful on Shabbos not to ignite the fire of anger. we all know what happens when we're preparing for Shabbos. We all know what a Friday looks like in any house. As well planned as Erev Shabbos is, the last minute something was forgotten, something didn't work out 100%. It's the time where the Yetzirah has a certain power, and a certain Shalita, and he tries to come in right before the biggest Kedusha, the greatest Kedusha of the week comes down. The Yetzirah tries to creep in and ruin it by making a person upset, angry, starting a machoikis, starting a fight. Lois varoesh, be careful. Don't light the fire of Kass on Shabbos. At the beginning of Shabbos, when Shabbos starts, be careful not to go into just with the Eish. And definitely on Shabbos itself. People are together on Shabbos. Sometimes there's room for a machoikis, an argument, fights break out. Lois varoesh, be careful not to light the fire of machoikis, the fire of Kass on Shabbos. The Chassam Sofer, I heard this over twice this week, so I took it as a simon, I should say it over. The Chassam Sofer says, "Lois varu esh b'chol moish v'seichem." A person shouldn't light the fire of Ruchnius only on Shabbos. There are those people that the 6 days of the week, the Ruchnius is put on a side burner, the Ruchnius is put aside, they're busy with the worldly manners. They come Shabbos, they try to light the fire of Ruchnius, become a little spiritual on Shabbos. Says the Pasuk, "Lois varu esh." Don't just light the fire of ruchnius, of spirituality on Shabbos. But a person should try to carry the ruchnius over during the week also. And have ruchnius, a person should make sure to daven, come to shul during the week, learn during the week, and have the ruchnius during the week. It shouldn't just be a fire of ruchnius, shouldn't only burn on Shabbos. And just the opposite, a person who uses the Shabbos properly, it carries over onto the weekdays. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld once heard that there was a certain house where they weren't keeping Shabbos properly. And as soon as he heard about it, he ran, it was late at night, he ran through the streets in the dark, and he came to the house where he heard it was Chilul Shabbos, and without even knocking on the door, he went right in, and he saw what was happening, and he told them off. Afterwards, people asked him, "How could you do that? A little Derech Eretz. How could you just not go into someone's house without knocking on the door and tell them off? How could you just knock in?" And Rabbi Yitzchak Chaim Zonnefeld said, when there's a fire burning in the house, the firemen don't knock on the door. When there's a fire burning in the house, the firemen don't knock, they go in. Like Svarawesh, Chul Shabbos is like a fire. The fire burning, a person has to go ahead and do what he can to prevent Chul Shabbos. They say over Meister with the Shabina Rebbe. When Shabina Rebbe was a young boy, the town that he was in, he used to speak by Shalosh Shuds. There was no rov in the town, and he was a young boy. He had a brother who was a big Talmud Chacham, and every week his older brother would tell him what to say on the parasha. So every Friday he would sit down with his older brother, and his older brother would tell him what to say over on the parasha. Mashal Shulis, he would say over whatever his brother taught him. One week an important guest came to town, and his brother was busy with the guest, and he had no time to teach Shabina Rebbe as a little boy what to say Mashal Shulis. Over Shabbos, there was no time. And Shabina Rebbe, he was very nervous. What's he going to speak about? So that morning in Shul, a big fight broke out in the Shul that morning. Between Shishi and Shulishi. Which was the most choshev aliyah? Shulishi's more choshev. Shishi's more choshev. It's a fight that still goes on. And which is the most choshev aliyah? And there's a big to-do in the Shul. And of course, once the machlokes starts, it spreads. And everyone was involved. Who's the most choshev aliyah? Came Shalosh Shuddas time, they said, "No, yeah, speak." He didn't have what to say. So he got up and he said, "Vayakel Moshe es kol anas b'nei Yisrael." Moshe gathered together the whole congregation of b'nei Yisrael. When the whole congregation is together, there's no machlokes, they're all gathered together as one, "Vayoyim aleihem." Then he could say to them, "Divrei Torah." But when there's a machlokes, then there's no Torah that could be said.
Okay. Got away with it.
Vayakel Moshe. Okay. But when it's achdus in Klal Yisrael, "Vayoyim aleihem." Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz is a beautiful machshav. Why is fire singled out as the malacha by itself? And he says, because when was fire created? When did fire come into this world? Matzoy Shabbos. All the Marishan, that's when we make a boyer in Moirei Ha'esh, Matzoy Shabbos. Because all the Marishan took two rocks, he was able to produce fire on Matzoy Shabbos. Comes out, the first Shabbos, Shabbos Bereshis, the Shabbos of the first week of the world, of Sheshes Meireshes, didn't have fire. If that's the case, I might have thought fire is not a malacha, because the very first Shabbos of creation, it wasn't possible, Lois Varalesh. because fire wasn't discovered, created by Adam HaRishon until Mitzvah Shabbos. So therefore, the pasuk has to single out fire. Lo yisvaru eish b'chol moish v'seichem yom haShabbos. Don't light a fire on Shabbos. But even though fire didn't exist yet in this world, the first Shabbos Bereishis, afal piken, it's a melacha, and fire is also on Shabbos. Sheshes yomim to yosu melacha, uv'yom haShvi yi lachem kodesh. Okay. When it comes to Shabbos, so we all understand what Shabbos is. We all appreciate Shabbos. But once in a while, it doesn't hurt to hear a mashal to encourage us and be mechazik us in our attitude towards Shabbos. I said this mashal over, I think, not last year, but the year before. Rabbi Shlomo Sosson, I just put that in the sefer, brings out a very nice mashal. There was once a hard worker. He worked hard the whole day. He's on his way home, tired, hungry, worn out. And he passes through the center of town. And he passes by the concert hall in the center of the town. And he sees people waiting in line in front of the concert hall. And he asks somebody, what's going on? What's everybody waiting for in line? And they say to him, there's a big concert here tonight. There's a singer and it's worth listening to him. Every word that he says, every note that he sings is beautiful. You'll enjoy it very much. It's worthwhile to buy a ticket. He says, okay, I had a hard day. Let me enjoy myself. He waits in line. He buys a ticket like everybody else. He comes into the hall and the seats are nice, soft, plush seats. The lighting is very nice, very warm, very comfortable inside. It's good for a nice cold day. And he sits down in a seat and he's waiting for the concert. He's so tired. As soon as the concert starts, he nods off and he sleeps through the whole concert. He wakes up when the audience is clapping and the concert is over. He wakes up 2 hours later when the audience claps and the concert is over. His shochein, the neighbor sitting next to him, says, oh, what a beautiful concert. What a voice. It was out of this world, something super special. And he missed the whole thing. He fell asleep. He says to his neighbor, you're right, it was super special. The seats are so soft. It was such a special seat to sit in. And the temperature was just right. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. The temperature, the climate was perfect. It was super. You're right, it was such a great concert. His neighbor says to him, and what about the singing? Singing? What singing? The seat was good, the temperature was good, what more do I need? The nimshal is obvious. Hashem gave us Shabbos, calling the Shabbos once a week. Come Shabbos, appreciate every second of Shabbos, every minute of Shabbos. Those that work during the week, supposed to use Shabbos for learning, Shabbos, Einik Shabbos, learning on Shabbos, davening on Shabbos, appreciate Shabbos for the Kedusha that it has. A time to close to Hashem, bring a little ruchnis into our lives, and not like during the week. And unfortunately, what do people do? They're so tired from the week, so knocked out. And it's hard. It is hard during the week. And they fall asleep. And what do they remember about Shabbos? The Shalant was good. And the Kiddush was good. That's what they remember about Shabbos. Maybe they get filter fish also. That's what they remember about Shabbos. They missed the concert. They missed the entire message, the entire Kiddush of Shabbos. Shabbos is there for us to appreciate every minute of the Shabbos. After a hard week, just the opposite. We should run to the Kedusha of Shabbos, appreciate the Kedusha of Shabbos, instead of just looking at the Gashmias, but appreciate the Ruchnias of Shabbos as well. The Pasuk says, Bayas Betzalel Es Arvin. In Perikam Zayin Pasuk Aleph, Betzalel made the Arvin. The Mefarshim all ask why it says here, Bayas Betzalel. By none of the other Kelim does it say, Bayas Betzalel. Vayas is HaKroshim, Vayas is HaShulchan, Vayas is HaMenorah, Vayas is HaKroshim. It doesn't say anywhere Vayas B'Tzalel. B'Tzalel made this. By the Oren only it says Vayas B'Tzalel. Why does it mention B'Tzalel's name, Dafka by the Oren and not by any of the other Kelim? So the Meshech Chochmos is a beautiful idea. And he says because B'Tzalel's Oren was the only Oren that was made, and that's the Oren that remained for the Mishkan, for Bayis Rishoin, when they hid the Oroin, when Yeshio hid the Oroin during Bayis Rishoin, they didn't have an Oroin in Bayis Sheini. They did not make another Oroin. But Saul's Oroin was the only Oroin that remained. And also the Lavoi, when Beis HaMidrash will be rebuilt, the Oroin that we're going to have is going to be the same Oroin that B'Tzalel made. Masha'en came by all the other Kalim, the Shulchan. We find Shomer Melech made 10 Shulchanois, Shomer Melech made 10 Menorois. They were replaced. There were other Kalim that were made. But Dafka by the Oren was the only Keli of all of the Kelim in the Mishkan that remained and was not replaced. Therefore it says, Vayas Betzalel, and it's that Aron Betzalel, his Aron, was the Aron that remained La'ilam and will be used again in the Bayis Shulishi. I said over the story many times, but
say it again.
We could say it again. And we'll end off, we'll end off with this, we'll almost end off with this story. Okay. The Pasuk says, in Perik Lamdvov, Pasuk Lamed, Moshe says to Bnei Yisrael, Ru'u, Kora Hashem B'Shem, B'Tzalel, Ben Uri, Ben Chur, Lamatayu, the Kol B'Tzalel. Vayimali Oisei Ruach Elokim, he was filled with Ruach Elokim, with Chochma, B'Svun of Adas, Chom Elocha, V'Lachshoiv Machshavois, Lassois Bazov, V'Kes of Anachoshis. Famous Meisa. The Volozhin of Yeshiva, Reb Chaim Volozhin, needed money for the Yeshiva, like every other Yeshiva. So you had Meshulachim going around to collect money, and the Meshulachim would go out once a year, and they each had their lists and their places to go. Of course, travel wasn't as easy as it is today. They had to get around by horse and wagon, and travel from town to town, and go and collect. They knew which farmers to go to, which areas to collect money. And this Meshulach had gone around year after year to collect for the Volozhin Yeshiva. One year, he comes to Reb Chaim Volozhin and he says, you know, my suit is all worn out. My hat's like a shmata. The wagon and the horse I'm using, the horse is on its last leg. The wagon is falling apart. It doesn't look nice. When I come to collect, people look at me and they see, I look like
a schnorrer
with a worn out hat and a jacket and a horse and a wagon. It'll be more of a kavodik for the yeshiva, since I represent the yeshiva, if I had a nice suit, I had a nice hat, I came in a nice wagon with a nice horse, people would see it, it's, ooh, looks important, represents an important institution, I would raise more money for the yeshiva. Can I use some of the yeshiva's funds to buy an appropriate suit, hat, wagon, horse, in order to go collecting on behalf of the yeshiva? And Mechai Voloshin gave his consent. Meshul goes out, and the first day he's out collecting, he's dressed in his suit, with his top hat, and his wagon, and his horse, and he goes collecting. He makes the rounds, and the usual people that give, he gets some comments about his new dress, his new wagon and his horse. And he comes to one farmer, and this farmer every year gave a nice donation. He sees the Meshulach, he says, this year, zero. This year I'm not giving you a red cent, I'm not getting a penny from me this year. But the yeshiva needs the money, Meshulach tries to schmooze him up, tries to talk him into it, nothing, he refuses to give any money for the yeshiva. Comes back to Reb Chaim Voloshina, and he gives Reb Chaim Voloshina a list, an accounting of the money collected and who gave. Reb Chaim Voloshina is going over the accounts. He notices this farmer who gave in the past few years, has been giving a nice donation, didn't give. So he asked Meshulach, did you go to this farmer this year? Meshulach says yes. And did he give? No. Why didn't he give? I don't know. He just didn't want to give this year. So Reb Chaim Voloshina says, you know what? He's not that far away. Let's go together to this farmer and maybe we'll be able to convince him to give his usual donation to the yeshiva. So they travel to the farmer, and they come in, and Reb Chaim Voloshin asks the farmer for a donation. The farmer says, no. Reb Chaim says, why not? Every year you're so generous, the yeshiva needs money, how could you not help us out this year? Are your finances good? Baruch Hashem, my finances are fine. Are you able to give tzedakah? Yes, I'm able to give tzedakah. So why not help us out? And the farmer says, I'll tell you the truth, he said. Every year when I gave money, I realize my money is going straight to the yeshiva. It's going straight to the Talmidim that are learning. It's going straight to the Mechazik Torah. But now this year, when I see the Meshulach comes with a nice hat, and a nice suit, and a horse and a wagon, I realize my money is going for a horse. The money going to the yeshiva is going for a wagon, for a hat. I want my money to go straight for the Torah, to support Torah, not for a hat, not for a horse. And therefore, I'm not giving any donations to the yeshiva. So Chaim Voloshin said to him, did you ever go to Chumash? The farmer said, yes. And he asked him, Pashas Vayakel? The farmer says, yes. Chai B'Lajan Lajan reads him this pasuk. These pasukim, Lamin, Lamin Aleph, and Mabez. Moshe says to B'nai Yisrael, Re'e Hashem, Re'u Kor Hashem Hashem, B'tzalel Ben Uri Ben Chur L'mata Yehuda, V'yamali Oisei Ruach Hakim, V'lachshav Machshav Ois, Of Zohov Kesef and Chayshas. Chai B'Lajan asked the farmer, B'tzalel, he was able to, Rashi brings down, to put the Oisiyos together, to create things, like Rias Oilom, he had tremendous Ruach HaKadosh B'Tzalel, and the Pasuk describes him as somebody who was Lachshav Machshavos, to make gold and silver and copper. It's like saying B'Tzalel was a good tailor. He was a good craftsman, a good silversmith, a good goldsmith. Is that all B'Tzalel was? He was with Ruach HaKodesh. If they're tremendous, such men as tzaddik, how can the pasuk describe them as lachshav lachshavois to make gold, silver, and copper? So B'chaim V'lozhin told the farmer, because Betzalel thought exactly the way you did. There are people that give tzedakah. How did Betzalel know when the money came in for the Mishkan, the gold, the copper, and the silver, which gold to use for the Kodesh, for the Oren, for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and which gold to use for the outside, and which silver to use for the Kodesh, and which silver outside, and which copper here, and for the Kiyah? How did he know which materials and which donation to use for which particular keli? But Saul was lachshav machshavos. He had ruach hakodesh. He was able to tell by looking at the donation how it was given, what kind of attitude the person gave it with. The person gave it l'shem shemayim. The person gave it purely for Hashem's sake. That was used in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. A person gave tzedakah, he felt a need to donate to the Mishkan, but it wasn't totally l'shem shemayim. That went a little bit away from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, outside. A person who gave because Yenim gave. Oh, he gave. I have to match his donation. I can't be different. Or a person who gave because Moshe is forcing us to give. He made an appeal. We have to give. His donation ended up somewhere in the Azor and the Chotzer, all the way far away from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the B'chaim V'loshino, today we don't have Ruach HaKodesh. I don't know who gave the money for what purpose. But if a person gives the money with Shem Shemayim, and he gives the money purely for the sake of Torah, then in Shemayim, they'll arrange it that money that he gave is used dafka for Torah. We use to support Torah. And it won't be the money used for the boss. The ones that gave money because of Gaiva, because they felt they had to give, or for other ulterior motives, that's the money that's used for the horse and the wagons. But if one gives stock of Hashem Shemayim, that money will be used for Torah. I like to say, everybody lived happily ever after. He gave a nice donation, and money ended up being used the proper way for Torah. But when a person gives stock, it depends on the kavana that a person has. We know the Gemara tells us that Tavin Yeshuon over Shabbos Shemayim, special spice that we have, we put into the food. The spice that we have that makes the Shabbos food tasty is called Shabbos. Shabbos itself gives taste to the food. The food on Shabbos doesn't taste the same as the food does during the week. They say of a story, a friend went to visit his friend, and he came, he didn't have a chance to give his friend advance notice he was coming to visit him for Shabbos. So he figured it's not fair to barge in on him right before Shabbos. So he brought his own food. He had his wife cook food for him at home, and he brought his own food with him. So when he came to his friend, he wasn't Matriarch's friend to feed him, but he had his own food prepared with him for Shabbos. And he warms up his food on the brach for Shabbos. It comes time for the meal. And they're serving the food. The Barabbas says to his guest, you know, your food smells a lot better than mine. My food here is in the house. You brought your food from home, but there's something special about your food. Your food smells a lot better than my food does. So the friend says, I'll tell you why. Because my food, he said, my wife made it. And when she cooked it, she said, I'm cooking the food to cover Shabbos Kodesh. I'm cooking the food to cover Shabbos. When she put the spices into the chont, it was done with cover Shabbos. When she baked, it was done with cover Shabbos. He says, here in your house, you have a Mishares working in the kitchen. The Mishares does all the cooking for you. The Mishares not concerned about cover Shabbos. And didn't say, well, cover Shabbos. That's why the food that I have tastes better, because my food has in it the spice of Shabbos. It was baked with cover Shabbos. The Arizal brings down, whatever a person buys for Kavod Shabbos, the person should say b'peh, should say it with his mouth, I'm buying this food for Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. And that gives Kedusha into the food. A person who has the right Kavonis for Kavod Shabbos Kodesh, it changes the Gashmis, the physical changes when a person has the right Kavonis for Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. A person who does L'shem Shemayim, the food becomes elevated, and it becomes food that has the taste of the time of Shabbos. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, we went through another week, and the end of the winter is coming closer. The light at the end of the tunnel is coming a little bit closer. It's been a hard week for everybody, a hard few weeks getting around. But Baruch Hashem, we came together to learn, and we'll be able to learn further, and we should appreciate the Kedusha of Shabbos, and feel the Kedusha of Shabbos, and together we should be Zayich L'Seim, Shnichsu Kenim, Heri V'Meinu Omnei.
Amen.